catching up in a neon light. Didn't know till we walked in, it was karaoke night. She was in a circle of girls chasing a shot with a line. She was laughing, they were daring her to get on the mic. Tells California, maybe she'd fall for a boy from South Georgia. She's got the bar in the palm of her hand, and she's a 90s country fan like I am. Hey, I got a Chevy, she can flip a quarter. I'd drive her anywhere.
Maybe she'd fall for a boy from Saga Center. Whoa, what's happening? It is the Malcolm Go podcast, November 22nd, 2022. Fresh off a victory over the bitter rival New York Jets. KP on remote, Tyler in studio, and Tony right here in the home studio, Malcolm Goose Studio, Saugus, Massachusetts, sponsored by Kowloon.
Stop moving the mic.
Why, with the biggest chain. Do you always rock the gold, you fucking Goomba?
I wear two chains. I invented two chains. Yes.
I don't even think it's a hot take to say no you didn't.
If you don't have two chains, you don't got any. You hear me?
Fair.
Yeah, it's fair to say.
Argue. That's you get handed those at 8th grade graduation in Saugus. They just give you two gold chains.
I'm not joking. They my senior year of football, they gave us a gold charm of a Saugus High football helmet with the number on it. I was like, this is perfect. Everybody had them on the next day or on their chains. Fucking absolute greaseball factory it was.
A bunch of Goombas.
Yeah, the Italian horn and their fucking crucifix and your Saugus Sachem football helmet. Classic. Of course, there was nothing engraved in it because there was nothing to engrave. Yeah, it wouldn't have said, like, champions. It would have said just 0-11.
Staying on this topic of, like, Saugus things, Annie and Tony were trying to convince me to get a fade. And I was like, if I show up with a fade down here, first of all.
I wasn't trying to convince you. You just... That's the haircut.
I said I need a haircut.
You're either bald or you're gonna fade.
And immediately Annie goes, "Oh yeah, this guy does. Are you said this guy does a good fade?" I was like, "No, let's pump the brake. I can't get a fade.
We do boys regular in the South. You think I show up with a fade down here? They're gonna be calling me the N-word."
Yeah, what type of haircut do you get?
It's boys regular. It's
what
fucking,
do you ask for?
They got fucking goes to Puppagino's and goes to Sports Clips.
I go, no, I don't. I have a girl.
Papa John's.
Her name's M.
I go girl.
I go six guard on the side, and then I go just scissor cut the top. Easy.
Six guard? That's not even a haircut.
Yeah, that's not a term.
It's not a haircut, though.
Yeah.
That's a long person's hair.
That's a lacrosse defense.
Yeah. That's like someone would call that flow up here. It's like sweet flow, and he's paying
all
for
right,
that.
Well, we don't do fades down here.
We don't have
here.
To go fades. We get boys reg. I just took my son for a boys reg. Like, you got to take it down on the sides. What are you in the barbershop every 15 minutes?
I go to the barbershop once every 3 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, 3 weeks. What's a haircut go for down there, South Carolina? About three clicks?
30 plus a tip.
30 plus a tip.
And
you're
going
getting
3 weeks?
You're doing Saugus prices for that type for a six guard.
I'm coming to Saugus day one. I'm getting a fade.
You go to
absolutely
day one and you'll get a hard part. That's what you really need is to get a hard part in there.
I'll have to put another chain on. Maybe I have one chains. I have one of my grandfather's wrists. What are those called? Bracelets. Just gold. Just
ice
gold.
Is it icy? Ah, oh, that would be sweet though. But that's Southern gold. It's not real. It's like blood diamonds. It's not the same.
Well, so the story behind it. This is probably a tall tale for my father. Is he? It wasn't even his father's, but he got it in the Middle East. So I don't know.
Oh, you know, Middle East gold is a lot different than Italian gold. It's got that like Indian 7-Eleven store owner gold, where like it looks like orange gold. It's not the same. They like you know they've mined it from pyramids or whatever they get it from. It's just a different color. It's orange, but it's gold. It's just a different kind of gold, and they always wear it with different shaped rings, and always a pinky ring. Always a pinky ring, and then they'll go pinky ring, ring finger ring, bracelet, chain.
Swag.
I'm buying in. I'm buying into the culture. I'm going full Goomba. I'm going big time.
So this is for the culture.
We'll buy you a Revere tanning membership as soon as you get here. That's a welcome to the.
That's dope.
Welcome to Saugus.
You'll fit right in. Every single one of our aunts and mothers has had a lifetime membership. I think their punch cards have literally, they were just like, you can just go for free. They don't, you know, like the 10th tan is free. They just let us. They're like, you definitely have cancer. Just don't sue us.
You have stake in the company.
Yeah. So KP went to the game with us this week. We had ourselves a nice little.
How was the tailgate?
The tailgate was lit. It was, first of all, it was windy as fuck.
No, it was bad.
It was hurricane-worthy winds. I was like, Mac ain't going to be able to sling. I had my aluminum flagpole up. That baby was turned over. That thing was ready to snap. It was literally the hardest I've ever seen it blowing. It was the fucking flag on top ripped, broke. Then the fucking flagpole itself was nearly at a 90-degree angle. Crazy.
Oh, it was bent over. But she's tough. She hung in there.
My brother made a nice brisket, 18 hours smoked brisket.
Yeah, what was up with that? He almost bailed on the game.
I almost
took a seat.
You could. That's I would have loved to see you sneak in. We had a whole thing.
Of all, Tyler, you got to know better. You weren't sneaking in. Tony's taking that ticket for Ann immediately. Well,
the wife was coming to the game, irregardless.
Well, I meant his seat in the car. Me and you would have been in the 300s, KP.
So
I did not have a ticket to the football game until about 8 minutes before we walked in.
Yeah, I was trying. I was like, I was gonna go all the way down to the second. And KP was like, got scared, and then nobody's internet worked when we were in the park, and I was shit. So I was like, I got to figure this out because I had to get a ticket for him and for my wife, and so I was gonna be, I had to walk close to the stadium, snag the Wi-Fi, grab the cheapest seat I could get, which is $100, and you know, 20 with the fees, which is an outrage, 20% for fees for what? Middleman facilitator, you can't even sell Taylor Swift tickets correctly. Cost you be $20. I'm paying for your Taylor Swift fuck-ups.
I feel like you get a sub these days and they're putting fees on it.
Yeah, everything's a fee. Yeah. I mean, DoorDash, I get DoorDash like with one of my credit cards. Like, you're a DoorDash member. So that's like reduced fees and no delivery fee. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, okay, I want $12 worth of McDonald's. Try to check out. $41. Well, you got to give them the tip.
Don't
tipping
get me started.
All these associated
Don't get
fees.
Me started on taxes.
How do we feel about tipping? Like, they just
out
put
on
the
it.
Tip. I stopped tipping. I was like, I can't afford to tip. I don't think.
You know what I like when I pick up food at like the 99 or something, and they spin the thing towards you for like the tip. I'm like, no, I did the work here.
That's yeah,
zero.
Takeout, or like when you get a sub at a sub shop and they want you to tip now on subs. Like that was never a thing.
No, I happily put zero.
Never.
I happily
like
put zero.
Well, the tip on to-go orders always gets me. Like, I panic. I do it every time. I'm always going to tip, but I shouldn't.
On me. Never. If to-go is to-go, you're tipping the waiter. Everyone else gets paid.
Yeah, you're not tipping the chef.
No. The chef gets paid. He still jerks off on your cheeseburger. And he still gets paid full salary.
Well.
He doesn't need a tip. I liked it in England where you don't have to tip anywhere. You just show up and they give it to you.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I'm kind of in on that. We could bring that back.
Yeah, it's a great move. No gratuity. Fuck off, all of you.
Restaurants really figured out a nice little loophole of like,
sure
hey,
did.
Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to pay our employees and you're going to pay them.
I don't know how they pull that off. They're like, this person does not have a living wage.
They're the only
$3
person.
An hour. And everything
else
is tips.
Yeah, the only company on earth that can be like, oh, yeah, we're going to pay you 60% below minimum wage.
Also, they don't have to offer benefits. They don't have to do anything. It's like you really – I don't understand the
system.
If
no customers come in, like, say it's a slow day or fucking anything, a bomb hits the town, and you have to be working, like, you just have to work 8 hours for $3 an hour sitting there.
Well, there's a loophole in that. It's also all the booze you can drink on shift.
I guess that's right.
And also...
Hey, you can eat all the fucking roast beef three ways you can eat, buddy.
And on top of that, they have to report their tips to get taxed on it at the end of the day. I mean,
definitely happens accurately.
Well, the other thing
I don't even fucking report my rent accurately.
The other thing you do is I used to work for a company and they would steal from, like, if you got overtime, they were actually supposed to pay you, like, actual minimum wage overtime, which is like $15 an hour. But our company was
righteous bucks.
Still leading our overtime. Well, I mean, it's like $150 at the end of the week. You work an extra, you know.
Could get in trouble for such things.
They were deleting our overtime.
Not that I know anyone.
Like docking our paychecks.
Overtime.
So I was going in and I would just take money from them.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I run the cash register. So this guy's beer is going to be free. That guy's beer is going to be free. And, oh, I made my overtime. Look at that.
It's like, Tony, this is a good restaurant food business segue. Tyler, we've come up with a Malcolm Go cocktail.
Oh, it's the goat. It's called. So anyway, I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about it. We were thinking about a way to translate to the Malcolm, the Malcolm Go drinkers out there, because it's a big drinking fan base.
Yeah, merch.
Everybody who wants to drink along, you could have like a drinking game. Like every time I say fuck or cunt or something, if I say a bad word, you could drink along. So it's going to be a highball glass, right? It's going to be filled halfway with ice, and then you're going to go ahead and you're going to pour in your normal vodka, however much vodka you want. Whatever vodka you want, and then you're gonna go ahead and top that baby off with Mountain Dew Code Red.
Mountain Dew Code Red.
Yes,
that's what the goers are drinking, huh?
And that's what we're gonna go ahead and it's gonna be garnished with a lime and a maraschino cherry, and a straw if you want. Doesn't have to be a straw. And then we're gonna call that a Malcolm Code.
Are we Malcolm Code? Are we marketing to Tennessee now?
No, that's where the origin story of the Malcolm Code is. KP was here on Saturday night. We were watching the Hogs, and I don't remember how we got into the conversation, but I was just talking about how Mountain Dew was like.
Your wife had never had Code Red, and we were both just appalled at that.
No, but that wasn't the whole reason. I was talking about how Mountain Dew was like people in the South like brush their teeth with it, and I don't know why it's such a regional thing.
I went to Kentucky, and every kid you saw had a Mountain Dew in his hand like it was a Poland Spring bottle.
That's all. That's why they all weigh 240.
It's fucking. It's insane.
That is why I weigh Code Red Mountain Dew is 60% at fault for why I got fat.
Yeah, my mom would always buy it for us, and then the Mountain Dew Code Red come out, and I took a sip of it, and I was like, "This can't be real. This is nectar of the gods, sir. This is the greatest drink I've ever had ever." And I would just drink it all the time. And I was a wrestler in high school, as you know, and I was like 5 pounds overweight. You know, I worked out, you know, I did exercise so much that I never got fat in high school. But, like, during wrestling season, I would just let my weight be what it was. And then they were like, you got to lose 5 pounds to be in this weight class. I asked my mom what I should do. And she's like, how about stop drinking Mountain Dew Code Red? I was like, why? Is that a problem? She's like, you know carbs and calories are things, right? I was like, nope. And so I thought Diet Coke was just like, I didn't even know what the difference was. That's how stupid I was. I had no idea that there was a difference. I just thought that, like, diet was a girl's drink. It's because my mom drank Diet Pepsi. So I was like, why has my mom got that diet, the girl one? I didn't know what the difference was. And she was like, carbs make you hold water and all this shit. I swear to God, I stopped drinking Mountain Dew Code Red. I lost, like, 12 pounds in a day and a half.
You and Conti's fired sodas. You guys had all the best sodas at your house.
Best sodas and best cereals.
Oh, cereals for days.
I'm so shocked that none of us were diabetic. We literally just mainlined most of the time. My mom was being pretty cheap, and she would go with the like the Costco ripoff. Like it would be Dr. Thunder. I'd have a lot of doctors in the family. It'd be like Dr. Thunder, Dr. Sam's Club, a lot of that going on. But once Mountain Dew Code Red came into the world, my eyes just lit up bright, and I was like, "This is the ticket." And they do sell Diet Mountain Dew Code Red, but it's like in the smallest town in Indiana. Like it must be like it's like. The Holy Grail. Me and my friend found it once in college, and he saw it when he was driving cross country to California. I haven't spoken to him in like 3 or 4 years, and he sent me a picture of it. Like, look what I found. I was like, no fucking way. Where is it? He's like, I'm in a fucking tiny gas station in Indiana. I was like, you need to buy everything they've got. Send it home. Yeah. So anyway, the Malcolm Code. I like send your photos in of the Malcolm Codes. We'll be doing them on Sundays. We'll be doing them during the podcast. And, just enjoying ourselves, Malcolm Coates. Hopefully we'll get a deal. Whoever's out there marketing, we sampled them at the tailgate. I tell you what, the ladies were amped on it. It's a lot. It's very jungle juicy because I'll tell you what, you cannot fucking taste any vodka in that bad boy and it gets you zooted. You're buzzing. You want to talk about a fucking speedball. Oh my God. You have a sip of that. Your heart's going 99 miles an hour. And you got a little buzz going. It's a little heroin and crack mixed into a cocktail.
Yeah, it's too good. You can feel the sugar when it hits your blood. You're in. I mean, it's in.
I was trying to explain to people, like, when you first, there's so much sugar in the Code Red, like your teeth feel like they're slick. They're like, you know, yeah. I mean, like, like just little,
almost a bit like almost furry.
Yeah,
like they have like a slime over them. Where you're like,
it's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's like a little fuzz. You can almost
buzz.
Yeah,
you just want to buzz.
You can feel your teeth blowing in the wind a little bit.
So you know, you can use as much or as little Code Red as you want. You really want to make that cocktail red though. That way, when you put that lime in there, it really shines, really pops. You know, and make it your own. Make that Malcolm Code your own.
We need Mac to get a pregame Malcolm Code.
Campari. We're gonna put some Campari in there and make Guinea it up. That would be the Italian version. Tyler was just holding up a bottle of Campari I have in my bar. We could have an Italian version when we go to Europe. We'll have a little Campari, Malcolm Campari code. That'd be interesting. We'll put a little Code Red vodka in Campari. That's really classy. So everyone should enjoy that.
Cody's, huh?
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is it.
They didn't have any 2 liters, so we had they didn't have any 20 ounces, so we had a big 2 liter at the. We were passing around a 2 liter of Code Red like it was fucking like a malt liquor in high school.
We also can't say that Malcolm that was not the reason we won, because we all took a shot of it before we went in.
I was off the walls. I felt so good afterwards. That hadn't touched my lips in over 20 years. Amped on it, just the idea of it.
I had the conversation Sunday. I don't know when the last time I drank a soda was. I don't even know.
I'm currently drinking one. I love it. You don't drink. I just have a Coca-Cola every once and again.
No, I haven't had a. No. I used to not even drink it. Like when it would run out at the bar, yeah. I wouldn't even. I would be like, give it to someone else to test it because it ruined your mouth.
Really, you're fucking weakling. I've never had a cavity. Never once.
Well, you know, I resent that because
I've never had a cavity. This is what strengthens it. Coca-Cola.
I got a cavity in every single one of my teeth.
Yeah.
And I used to brush it. I was like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand this.
Some people just naturally have bad teeth. But look at all this sodium, all these carbohydrates, potassium. My teeth couldn't be stronger with all these minerals.
It took me till I was 18 to the doctor to tell me that, no, you just have deep pits. No matter what you do, you're getting cavities. Like you had no choice. You're always going to get cavities.
Big pit guy?
Yeah.
You've been bragging about your big pits?
I was furious.
Telling you.
I need to say something. That's why this is the best Patriots podcast ever. We just had the best game in 3 years, and we haven't even talked about it.
Well, the most important thing was getting our cocktail out there, having a little Malcolm Codes. All right, Malcolm Code. I can't wait to make the logo.
Was the brisket good?
The brisket was fire. Yeah. It was just so goddamn windy. You know what I did? I made a nice little, I got a nice Italian bulky. I sliced that baby up. Some people had coleslaw, not me. You know what I did? Half sour pickle, sliced it up thin.
Ooh, that's nice.
Put that right on top.
Yeah,
and put the brisket on top of that. Then put a little dinosaur barbecue, Syracuse, New York. Shout out. Dinosaur barbecue sauce right on top. Top that bun, and I went to Tizown on it. Buried it.
And then we had the platter of it, which was good for me. The platter of calzones was
There was a lot of calzones. Oh, by the way, how funny is this? This fucking redneck asshole on the podcast. We went to we were sitting here Saturday night, like I'm talking about, and we're going. So I go, I get two pizzas. I got a nice a pomodoro fromage from Pizzeria Regina, which is just like a bunch of cheese and tomatoes. Delicious. The other one I get all the time. It's a staple. Been a Loconte staple since forever. I invented it. I get it's well done and it's. Grilled chicken and cherry peppers.
I get that pizza every time.
It's a Loconte special. And my fucking dumb cousin goes over and goes, these jalapenos are hot, man. I said, you southern asshole. And he goes, I was like, those are cherry peppers. He's like, what is a cherry pepper? I've never heard of a cherry pepper. They don't exist. I was like, they're a thing. They're not. He's like, look, it's shaped the same. I said, it's not shaped the same. Jalapenos are pencil long. These things are little round tomato style, and they're delicious and hot as hell.
KP's talking heavy.
Laying here right now at this very moment, I'm still not convinced that I wasn't eating jalapenos.
They don't even taste remotely the same.
The culture shock of coming up here is going to be wild.
Dude, can you all give me some of that pizza with that jalapeno? Fucking jalapeno.
I'll tell you what, they did have a barbecue. They had a barbecue chicken pizza. I was about to get.
Barbecue chicken pizza. That is a white trash fucking Papa John's order if I've ever heard. Yeah, we just drizzle barbecue sauce on top, man. There's nothing on the, there's cheese on crust and then barbecue sauce.
You know what
the
else?
One that got me was on the way home from the game when y'all were talking about dog insurance. I've never heard any shit like that.
Wait,
dogs are like tractors in the South.
Wait,
that's
you talking like a pistol? My dog insurance. My dog gets sick, I take him right out back.
Dog insurance costs about $1.50 down here, boy. $1.50 and a shovel. That's all that costs.
No, they were like, it was like a common thing. It was like, Annie was like, hey, Frankie, you have insurance on your dog, right? And I was like, wait. It took me like 2 minutes to calculate. I was like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, well, people, we don't use them as like fucking hunters. They're family pets. You've seen movies where dogs are family. Like, they don't just sleep in the breezeway at the house or like in some kennel in the backyard. Like, where does your dog sleep, for instance?
He has a bed, but he sleeps
inside
outside
or outside?
Outside.
Of course it's outside. Of course it is. It's a hurricane out there, Brutus.
Why would you like let the fighting dogs in the house?
That motherfucker's got fleas. He's got
security. Well, he has to be built tough. Yeah, either way, we have to talk about the Patriots. We're Patriots.
Irregardless, no. People up here like dogs. In most places, actually, they like dogs. Just in the South, they decided that they're fucking basically, they should be painted green like John
accessories.
Deere. That's
they're
all
like, they're like garden gnomes. They're like almost like garden gnomes.
No, fucking KP lent his dog out to like his friend to go hunting with. I was like, what are you talking about? Isn't that your dog? Like, you just let him go hunt with other people? What if he gets shot in the with a pistol or gets mauled by a bear?
Is that what your dog
does? That's
why
he lives outside. He's tough. He gets shot once or twice.
He's tough. Let my Bernedoodle get one look at him. We'll see who's tough.
I came into Tony's house, opened the front door, expecting this 90-pound animal to just charge me, and it just looked at me. Ran over, sniffed me, was like, all right, he's a friendly.
He's a sweet boy. He's a Bernedoodle. He fucking went and got what do you call it today? Got groomed. He came out, and I was like, this, fuck it. I can't walk out with this dog. Like, I'm like, look at me. I can't do this. Well, he was so furry. They're like 1980s, like, Revere, Saugus hair. Like, just fucking up. I mean, I'm talking fucking. It was longer than when we brought him there. I thought he was getting a haircut. Like, all of a sudden, it's like 8 inches long. He's puffy. I'm like, what happened to you? I was like, you're the worst looking dog I've ever seen.
I have seen his eyes for the first time ever.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing. No soul, no heart, absolutely no love whatsoever. I told you he's a sociopath. And it was the weirdest thing about him being a sociopath. It was way worse, but oddly, before he got neutered. Like, before he got neutered, he would not sleep near us. He would sleep in the bathroom alone, staring at the wall. Sometimes he'd go. So I have no bathtub. I just have a shower stall in my bathroom. And he would just lay in there. I'm like, you're a problem. Something's wrong with you. I'd go in there and pee, and he'd just be laying in there, wouldn't even lift his head up. And then he'd cut his balls off, and all of a sudden, he has to be in bed with me. I'm like, does he think I'm going to take his balls again? Like, that was the mistake he made? Like, sleeping away from me was the mistake he made, so we had to cut his balls off?
Yeah,
such an odd thing, this dog.
Yeah, this dog, he is definitely a strange dog.
He is strange.
I haven't really put my... But he's nice. He's friendly.
He's just a sweet boy. He would never hurt anything.
Your kids are what? Like, how old, Sonny?
7, 5, and 1.
And then you just throw in a 120-pound puppy into the mix and just causing havoc.
Let him do what he does.
It's just... You guys are just in the middle of it.
Yeah, fuck it.
He couldn't cause any more havoc than Tony's youngest. Couldn't possibly.
No, the baby is just...
Oh, my God! Alley-oop just happened on my television.
Alley-oop. I've never been that excited about basketball in the history of my life. Yeah, so anyway, we did go to the game. So we got tickets. I got 2 tickets right before the game. Drank about 300 beers. Brought fucking a couple extras in. Again, anything you want. So I did a little Googling on these new security protocols they have there. It's literally just to get weapons. That's literally what it's called. The weapons, like, detector. That's all it does is detect weapons.
I think that's what we want.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's a perfect case scenario for me because I had 3 Miller Lights in my pocket.
Attaboy.
Yeah. Just wandered in.
Wait a minute.
You smuggled a 3-pack? We just went mini bottles. Multiple mini bottles.
You guys are soft. I went 3. I had a big jacket on. I had 3 Miller Lights in there and walked right in, got all our tickets in. Everyone went up. We went to the 204. As king of 204, I forced my way through all the lines, got up to my seats, and... to my dismay, everything was jam-packed. I sat in the front of my other seats for a while, got booted, went across the way, got booted, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to. And I, as a last ditch scenario, when I was buying the tickets, I'm like, all right, I know I'm only going to be in the 300s, but I might as well get close to my my real seat. So I got 304. I'm telling you, when I tell you 204 to 304, you think, oh, I mean, you walk up one story and you're in the 304. No. I mean, it must have taken me 45 minutes to get to these seats.
Well,
you have to walk up every single deck to the tippity-tippity top. I mean, you're passing homeless, you're passing nomads, people begging for change. I mean, how do people do that every day? It takes me an hour. You must be starting to walk in to a 1 o'clock game at 8 a.m. just to get there.
Yeah. It's literally three times the amount of walking up to two. But which they used
you
to be
should.
Able to walk
if you've
sitting
in 300, that you should have to walk that far.
You used to be able to just walk up to the top of the stairs, but they're doing that construction there. So you can't.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, you used to be able to.
Okay, that's why I thought you could walk to the top of 200, you go up, but
yeah.
No. So we walked over to that little fucking accordion walkway, right? And I get up two sections, and I'm like, man, look at this. And there was a door, and it was cracked open. And I went over, and I just opened it. No security. It was a club. And my wife was such a baby. I'm like, look, we can go right in the club. Nobody will even know. I don't even know what club it was. It might have been the Giselle Suite. I had no idea. And I'm like, this guy could have been in here. I was about to be in there with fucking Mac Jones's wife and Bob Kraft just hobnobbing with the goats. And she was scared. I felt the warm on my chest. I could see the fireplace. The beers were flowing. I'm like, this is going to take
is that lobster?
A turn.
I think I see lobster.
Yeah. I'm like, it was unbelievable. We lost KP, by the way. So I don't know if he's coming back. Maybe he will. He's gone. But he's back. So, I mean, literally, you could see the fucking buffet spread. The fucking the beer, the bartender. I didn't see it. I didn't see one Yankee dollar being spent. No. It was just flowing. Yeah. And I'm looking back at my wife and her nerves and anxiety. I can see in her face. I'm like, she's never gonna go for this. I went back. I was like, Ann, it's open. It's open. We can just go in. There's no security. She's like, no. Let's go to our seats. Let's just go to our seats. She's such a scaredy cat. Like, we're gonna get in trouble. What are they gonna do? They're just gonna tell us to please leave.
Oh, sorry. I thought these were my seats.
Yeah, I thought this was 304. It's the only possible way. And of course, we get up to 304. We're fucking three, four rows from the very top. You're fucking on each other's fucking knees.
It's tight
up there.
It's tight.
Oh, my God. The fucking wind had to be 400 miles an hour up there.
Tell me you're not a little scared about tripping down the stairs and just rolling onto the field.
It's forever. Yeah, you're
it's
gone.
It's the steepest.
And that's what got her. So we lasted, I don't know, one drive. You could see the whole field, which I liked.
Oh, yeah. Bird's eye view.
Yeah. I mean, I was up there. I'm calling all plays. Yeah. I'm like, look who's over there. I got my binos. Yeah. So I could see everything.
That's the thing is you're up there and you're like, all right, we're going to see everything developing. Yeah. Except for this game, 90% of the plays were between the tackles for a one-yard gain.
Hold on. Here's a sack, I think. Yeah, yep.
Definitely another sack.
Yep. Hold on. Oh, yep, a sack. Yep. Is that the right tackle being beat? Yep. You can just call it out. So then whatever. We lasted about half a quarter. And then we were like, fuck this. Went down. I was like, I think over there is like, I went in Southside last week. So I was like, oh, Southside's got all these dope amenities. So again, we take the hour and a half trek down. I went and checked the club. Fucking somebody shut the door. So that was out. I think I was convinced her. I think this on the way down, she was going to do it, but I got screwed. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And that's something my wife has to learn.
Dom and
I can't believe she blew that as windy and cold as it was. That's
so we
Dom
ended
and
up
I, once at the Kentucky Derby walked right to the pole. Like there was a lady who was taking the tickets.
Yeah.
We just walked right past her. Like we were belonged inside.
That's the best
and
way
went
to do
right
it.
To the pole. We were at the finish line of the Kentucky Derby. Everyone else is in the infield getting poured on. We're like, this is unbelievable.
Everyone's in a tuxedo except for you assholes wearing New England Patriots 3-time Super Bowl champion t-shirts. A shirt from 2004.
Yeah. Mud up to our knees. Just like, yeah,
man. We've always been here. Dude, the best way to ever do anything is just act like you belong there and just walk by like you're just ignorant to everybody, has no idea what's going on. Just like how I parked in the super lot last week. They were like, you got to go turn around, go down about a quarter mile, then you'll see it on your right, then drive another mile. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to turn around. I turned around, just left, and just parked right in the fucking super lot. But anyway, I went down to the amenities. I went to the DraftKings fucking bar. Then there was another bar. I was doing beers. My wife's doing vodkas. And then we got that little... They've sent me photos. I've never, ever fucking looked at any of this stuff. But they're like these new season ticket holder things that's been there for like 3 years. They have like arm rails where you hang. You can watch the game. I'm fucking right in between the field goal posts on the north end zone. Literally directly where Marcus Jones ran. He ran to me like he was giving me a hug.
But you're in the video.
It couldn't have been better. I'm in my Patriots throwback jacket with my Kyle Duggar shirt on. I had my face mask on. It was a little chilly. And fucking when Marcus Jones took it back, I got on halfway. I saw him break one tackle. I started running down the stairs. I jumped on the railing and I had my arms up. I'm like, yeah. Fucking some guy asked me, like, you got money on the game? I was like, what are you talking about? Do I have money on the game? Does that matter right now? Do you think this is the only effect it has on me?
This is my entire life.
This is all I think about. Fucking guy at the game. Are you not enjoying this?
No, I mean, when he broke it, the three of us in 204 was lit. We're hugging. We were in three-way hugs with grandfathers and their kid. Like, we're
nothing
just
better than 204 camaraderie. 204 camaraderie is great. I fucking live for it.
It was unbelievable. There was a dude behind, a black man behind Frankie who wasn't
irrelevant.
A fan of either.
Irrelevant.
Wasn't a fan of either team.
It wasn't like, oh, there was a black man. There was a black man. It was like, whoa.
He was sitting behind me, though, which makes sense.
Well, oh, Jesus. Well, Frankie and him have become friends.
Best friends.
Oh, that's Frankie's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he said, I'm not a fan of either team. I'm just trying to get laid. It was fucking unbelievable.
Hilarious. I respect that.
He had his girl there. But, we were embracing everyone. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. So it was good. I mean, the rest of the game was just efficiency of the Patriots' part and just waiting for the Jets to blow it. I mean,
I know you like you look at that game. You turn it on the fourth quarter and you're just sitting there going like, "All right, 3-3. These teams must both suck. Like nothing's going on." Blah blah. Yeah. The Patriots were so much better than the Jets this game. If we lost this game, it would have been terrible.
It was bad. I mean, the missed field goals killed them.
Both into the wind.
Into the wind. I mean, the wind was bad. He missed like a 40. But then the fucking Zerline hit like a 55 from the same spot.
Well, it's Greg the Leg.
He is Greg the Leg. Nick Folks of an advanced age.
That's
true.
That's not. And the first one I was completely. It felt like that ball just died out of the air.
It did. I mean, again, as I said, I was looking directly
right
at it. And I saw him miss the other one. I was getting really upset. And then, what else even happened in this game that was interesting? They had Jonnu out of the backfield. He fumbled by himself.
That was insane because that was a touchdown.
He was going to run that baby fucking 70 yards. He's switching up his hands like a good coaching point, and he just dropped it on the field.
That doesn't really make sense because he had the ball on his outside arm, and he was switching it to his inside arm.
I
don't know why he was switching it. There was nobody within 5 yards of his body. He could have just, ran the ball.
You do switch the ball to your outside arm if you're running down the sideline. So if you fumble, it goes out.
Yeah.
Well, he was switching it to his inside arm.
It's a great move by him.
It was unbelievable. But they did bust out the wing tee.
That's why I said wishbone. I said, is that the fucking wishbone?
Which sneaky is actually
working.
Well, we have the guys for it. Two pass catching tight ends it's a good formation.
You know, Bill was like, oh, yeah, we ran this at Navy in 19.
He's like, we literally can't do anything else. We might as well, go back to the fucking military colleges formations. And pretty soon, Mac Jones is going to be running triple option.
Well, I mean, they had the Damian Harris was out of that wishbone formation, run to the right. He bounced it right, got that big run. Harris looked great, by the way.
Yeah, he looked good this game.
It's nice to have two backs who are both awesome.
Yeah,
like, there's no drop-off.
I will say I like it, but I also still think there's no reason he should ever get more carries than Ramondre, but that's just me.
Ramondre was shut down in this game, except Ramondre had a couple fucking big catches. I mean, he brought, what was it, a 3rd and 17?
That play
he
was
got like
amazing.
An 8-yard catch and broke it for like, to what, a 19-yard play?
He got the first, Ramondre had 15 carries and Harris only had 8. Harris just had 65 yards and Ramondre had 26.
Yeah. 15 for 26.
Ramondre, I will say the one thing he does do, he kind of dances near the first down marker way too much. There's a lot of times where he could just put his head down and take the 2 yards to get the first, where he dances and it's like, I mean, you are really good.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, just get the fucking first down.
Let them dance.
Yeah. I mean,
bands will make them dance, Ty. Yeah. Bands will make them dance. Listen, but he's only got a few more years of Patriot football left in him. Let him dance.
I think they're keeping this one. But then they ran the play action to Jonnu.
They ran the play action, what, 7 times, and it worked every single time? What was he, 7 for 7? Well, and then they just were like, ah, fuck it.
Well, they were probably 7 for 7 on play action, and then the other ones were 4 sacks.
Sacks, yeah.
He took a lot of sacks on play action.
They were 6 of 7 for 105 yards and then didn't do it again the whole rest of the game. Yeah,
not like what Tyler just said.
Play action was in the fourth quarter.
Well, I get it, but what I'm saying is you can do it more than 7 times. There's not a limit on how many play action plays you could run. Yeah.
Well, they started sacking him too. It was like they run play action and they're like, well, this is obviously a pass.
We can get
doesn't work if they're blitzing 6, or if they're not blitzing at all, and they send 5 pass rushers and you have 8 blockers and you've got
If I was a team, I would blitz 2 guys at Kajou State every play. That guy couldn't block us. This podcast would bull rush him.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me thinks, I get that, but you never blitz Brady. You blitz Brady back in the day, it was a death sentence. You blitz any of the good quarterbacks, they picked you apart. It's like, we have to get to that next level where it's like, a blitz comes, all right, blitz is coming from here, throw it right
Beating there. A blitz requires everybody to be on the same page. Guys need to know hot routes. Guys need to know where to sit down. The timing needs to be right. And fucking from everything I've watched, like, the last 3 weeks, even though I don't like him or, like his analysis and, like, the thought that he's, like, this next great coach because he works for ESPN, Dan Orlovsky was showing the timing of, like, Mac Jones ready to throw the pass right now. Nobody's looking. That's, like, why you can't – like, you could blitz Mac Jones so easily, because if he wants to do a 3-step drop and do a hot pass to Jacoby Myers, fucking nobody's looking at him. Like, they're all going into his route.
Well, there was a few –
the timing is fucked up.
He got sacked on a couple plays where Stevenson was open, right? Like, you know, he's clearly your check down.
Yeah.
And he didn't even look left to Stevenson leaking out of the backfield, who
– You know, honestly, like, I bet I'm sure Mac was just tired of throwing checkdowns because fucking nobody else is open. It's insane. They tried to run 1 shot play, and the whole offensive line collapsed. The entire offensive line. Nobody blocked.
They had a very bad game. I also don't think there's like a lot of trust with Mac, where it's like, listen, like, obviously Zach Wilson's not going to beat us, so don't take any chances. I think that was definitely a discussion before the game. But I don't know. I haven't really seen him throw a nice seam ball in a while. When was the last time he fired one down the seam to, like, an open guy?
That one he threw to Henry today on Sunday was nice. But they don't run anything up. Like, we need to use Hunter Henry. The guy's open all the time.
I don't know how he was, like, so useful last year. And then they're just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let's just go with 100% we're going to throw to Jacoby Myers and Ramondre Stevenson. They got all these weapons. Everyone's weapons, weapons, weapons. You know what Tom Brady would do with these weapons, by the way? They would be fucking probably undefeated if they weren't 9-1 right now.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure, because his weapons in Tampa are just as good, and they stick.
No, they're not. Not right now.
And they've been hurt. Evans hasn't. But whatever.
And he's 50. But if he was 38-year-old Tom Brady here, or like 2019 Tom Brady, the year after he won the Super Bowl and still went to the playoffs with nobody, fucking – this team, these wide receivers, are a million times better than that.
Yeah. Look,
you just need Mac to get 1% better.
I need him to be 20% better.
Well, no. If he can give me 250 and throw a touchdown a game, the Patriots are going to be in it because their defense is so good.
We're going to make the playoffs, but we're not going to, like, actually go anywhere.
Well, I'm saying they're not gonna get fucking blown out like they did last year by anyone.
Well, that was the build. That was like a weird revenge game of like, oh, we split the division with them, and they were like, no, you fucking didn't. We got screwed in that game. We're gonna kill you.
Something that's not being talked about is we're 6-4 and we're a half game back. The kids are hot.
They are a half game back.
We're definitely good, and I think we're a playoff team.
That was a must win. It was must win season.
Absolutely.
And this is a must win.
I don't know if it's a must win, but it's definitely a nice win to have.
The problem with Mac is he's probably the worst. He's going to be the worst quarterback in the AFC playoffs, and worse than like the 2 quarterbacks who probably missed the playoffs too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say he's worse, but he's younger and less experienced and just not developed enough yet. He's not going to be as good as Mahomes, obviously. He's not going to be as good as Josh Allen, obviously. He's
Lamar.
Not as good as Lamar, but is he
Burrow?
Burrow, he's not as good as
Tannehill.
I don't know if he's not as good as Burrow, but he's just
no,
not,
he's not
near.
It's Fizzbar.
Yeah, he's not. It's Fizzbar. I wanted to make an argument, and I'm just like, no, he's not.
We're not gonna do that one.
No,
he's like I
Tua.
Tua,
I mean,
I think is overrated. And Tua's good. There, I don't think the Dolphins are gonna make the playoffs.
I think
that would be why they would have to have a monumental collapse.
I don't think they've won these like big games. I think, you know, I guess they beat the Browns, but apparently the Browns are horrendous because we killed the Browns. The Dolphins killed the Browns. Everyone kills
the
Browns.
Then the Jets beat the Browns, and now they're going to get Deshaun back. He's going to be molesting everybody, every masseuse in town.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just – that's the only thing about Mac. It's like he's not bad. He's not a bad quarterback.
No, but he needs to play within himself. Like he did last week was a perfect Mac Jones game. But once you get to the red zone and get down and make – you got to make plays –
it's not just they had so many holdings across the 50. It was insane.
That is true. False starts, bad formations constantly. But like, it's kind of easy to play quarterback, you know, when you get whatever touchback and then you're just moving the ball, checkdowns and everything. Once the throws get tight, that's where he's not that good. That's where he's throwing the picks in the end zone. It's like he can't make those tight, difficult throws.
But he was doing it last year. I'm telling you, it's scheming.
He
enough.
Was doing it. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's all the coaches. I'm so in on it being Judge and Patricia. It's insane. It's
only
crazy.
That's the only thing it can be. They have to absolutely go away from them next year, unless they win the Super Bowl miraculously with Matt Patricia, Joe Judge's offense. They need to get somebody back here. Bill O'Brien. Alabama didn't win the national championship. They're not going to win the national championship. Get Bill O'Brien back. Run the offense that you're supposed to run. That worked for 20 years and cut the bullshit.
Well, the Panthers' old coach.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
He's now on the NFL Network, like commentating. Like,
you know, Matt Rhule would be a great guy to have. They'll never get anybody like that. Bill likes to promote from within and have no fucking... Like, when's the last time he hired an outside coach for anything? Greg Schiano, and he didn't even make it to the season?
But then he goes and gets these like kids, these brainiacs at MIT, and lets them do it. No, he's not going to go hire anyone.
So I mean, we need to build somebody.
We also have had like the at most positions the same coaches for like two decades.
Yeah,
the running back coach was here
the whole time.
Ivan Fears was here forever. Skinecki has been here since football started.
Before Belichick, before Kraft, he was here. I think like 82 or something.
Troy Brown's been here for what, a decade now?
Coaching? Well,
yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
Does he want to call plays? So, I would allow that. I'm Troy in Brown? On him calling plays.
The man's a winner. The man's a winner.
Yeah, so like on offense, we've really only had changes in offensive coordinator and...
QB coach
and tight end coach, I guess. Besides that, everyone else has been here.
Offensive line coach.
Yeah, I'm saying it's the two...
But now we have all new coaches.
Yeah.
It's
right.
The two most important coaches.
It's everyone.
I know, but why can't he just go out and get guys? You're the biggest name in sports, the biggest coach in sports. You could get anyone. If you wanted to go to fucking San Diego State, take their head coach and make him your offensive coordinator, he could do it.
Who does that in the NFL?
Everyone.
Who?
You don't, no, nobody hires.
Who's done that for two decades?
Nobody
who
hires.
Who had the same coaches for two decades? Nobody.
Oh, who does that part? I don't know. But you
know,
how many people go
and
in hire?
College is bullshit because it's like, oh yeah, we brought these new coaches in, he's doing well. No, all the players you recruited are just better than all the other players because you can just recruit better.
College, yes.
College coaching means nothing.
No, I know, but I'm saying that in the NFL.
That's an insane take.
No, it isn't. It's a correct
college
take.
Coach means absolutely nothing. I could coach Alabama.
If Nick Saban was coaching Syracuse, he wouldn't be fucking undefeated.
Alabama was not that great before Nick Saban got there. What are we talking about?
Exactly. And then he recruited the shit out of him.
I agree. It's not about
coaching. I could go be the offensive coordinator for Alabama in a game.
It's about your ability to recruit and the amount of money you recruit. And fucking, I mean, Nick Saban, if he was the Syracuse head coach right now, they'd be dog shit, just like they are.
Yeah, you exactly.
6-0 now, 6-5. The boys, classic.
So I don't swooning. Know. It's not like an easy thing. We did lose a lot of coaches in the last couple of years. They
did that for 20 years.
Explained to you the offense. It didn't happen on offense.
Is it? They lost Charlie Weiss. They lost fucking Romeo Crennel. They always
lost the offensive coordinator. They lost,
and then
but they never
up.
Lost all the position coaches. Those guys.
That's not true. A lot of the times, not when anybody got a head coaching job, they took three or four or five coaches with them every single time.
The offensive line coach, the running backs coach, or the receivers coach.
I don't know about receivers coach, but definitely not the offensive line coach or running back coach. But they took. I mean, they always took somebody to run the defense. They always took somebody from the front office.
The defense,
they always took.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys left. And the defense left, but Bill was always the defensive guy.
Yeah.
And then we had.
Mangini took fucking Dabble. He took, you know, whatever. Josh McDaniels took the guy, Brian. I forget his name. He was supposed to be the next guy to run the defense. He's like the defensive coordinator for the Giants now.
All those guys.
But they would always take, like, they're the head coach of the offense, but they'll be the head coach, and then they'll bring a guy to run over the defense. Flores took fucking Chad O'Shea, took, you know, all these guys. Bill O'Brien, same thing. They all take somebody, some people.
But offensively, we always had Brady and Ivan Fears and Skonecchia. Like, we
had
the
core. Are you saying that they were the key? Were they the key?
Exactly.
Is it
right.
Ivan Fears and Skonecchia were the key? Because the running backs seem fine.
Yeah, and I'm saying that if we had Skonecchia, I don't think this offense would be as bad.
If you had a list of two names, could you tell me who the running backs coach was?
This year?
Yeah.
Well, if it's not Ivan Fears, I don't know who it is.
It's not Ivan Fears.
That's what I'm saying.
It's yeah.
All right, but the one year, like, McDaniels
that's
was
what
here.
I mean. He's not. I don't know who the running backs coach is, and the running backs are the best players on the team.
The one year McDaniels was here, and we lost Skarnecchia, the team completely fell apart.
Didn't they win the Super Bowl?
No, we lost to Denver.
I won't.
Remember?
No, they won the Super Bowl, and then the next year they lost to Denver. They immediately won the Super Bowl without Skarnecchia. With
Skarnecchia was gone, we rotated the offensive line. Like, we had like 15 combinations of offensive line start games.
Yeah.
And then Skarnecchia came back, and he was like, none of that.
Yeah.
And then we had the best offensive line again.
So what happened was, 2014, he retired. They won the Super Bowl with that guy, Guglielmo. And then he came in the next year, and they were terrible, and they were like fucking. They were in Denver, and they were like, they were, what do you call it?
Doomerville killed us.
They were doing something of the snap, whatever they call it, flip tricking the snap, something like that. So fucking Marcus Cannon had the worst NFL game in history, and still Tom Brady, the miraculous Tom Brady, one of the greatest games of his career, took like 45 hits.
Was getting destroyed.
It took like 45 hits. And was a fucking missed extra point away from beating Denver on the road.
Who was? They talk about the best defense that's ever walked the face.
Embarrassed of the Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady had Gronkowski and Aaron Dobson, and he went toe to toe against the best defense in the league, getting hit 30 fucking times because they didn't. They knew the snap count. Von Miller was 3 seconds ahead of our offensive line, and we were still fucking about to win the game. That's how much the fucking.
Oh, that guy was.
How different he is.
Hey, I'll tell you the biggest thing that, like, Mac doesn't have. Mac. He's not tough like Brady was.
No.
That's the thing. Like, he ran.
Certainly isn't.
That scramble he had, it was like 3rd and 4. He scrambles. He has the first down. He did this move. He plopped up in the air and just plopped on the ground. He didn't dive. He went straight up and landed on his knees. And then just didn't get the first. And then there was a holding call, so it didn't matter.
Didn't matter
But
anyway.
That was disgusting. I watched that. I was like, this is a – you're not – you have to be tough.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like
– He's done tough stuff, but the
– like, no, he does do it, but, like
– But sometimes – I told you last week, like, every still photo of him being, like, sacked looks like he's screaming like he's like Ilian Gonzalez. You remember that? Like, when he's, like, the gun pointing at his face, getting pulled out of a closet to get sent back to Cuba. That's the face that Mac Jones makes every time there's a still photo of him in the pocket. I don't – I mean, that's what I would look like if – 5 350-pound guys were coming after me.
You kidding? Every time they would have me throwing the ball, my eyes would be closed.
Yeah. Please go straight. Don't kill me.
My face would be turned backwards.
Yeah.
No, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, he does get hit a lot. He was fumbling the ball at the beginning of the year, so he's definitely going down more in the pocket on contact, which might be like, hey, don't fumble the ball. Like, you get hit, whatever. Just live another down. We're not turning the ball over, but
The offensive line is killing him.
They're so bad. They're all bad. That Kajuste guy couldn't start for my high school right now in his current state. That guy stinks. And then if Andrews plays this week, they'll win. That's the difference.
How tough is Andrews that he's just like – literally on fucking Sunday night, they were like, that could be career ending. They're like the fucking – these Twitter officials, the Twitter doctors, like the guy that used to be the actual doctor for the San Diego Chargers has a Twitter and he just diagnoses injuries.
That guy?
Yeah.
The guy who stabbed Tyrod Taylor in the heart with a needle?
Guy. Different guy. Might as well be the same guy.
That guy should be in jail.
No, but this guy, he just, that's what he does. He just diagnoses injuries on Twitter watching Red Zone, and he's got a million followers. People ask him questions. He's like, yeah, that's probably a season-ending injury. Ian Rappaport was like, oh, man, they hope, you know, they made a dodge the bullet, like, yesterday morning. Like, they might have dodged a bullet. He might be back, God forbidding, for a playoff, maybe in the playoffs. He's fucking at practice today.
And a full participant, like, did the whole thing.
Had pads on.
So they say Wynn is out. He has a foot injury.
That's fat, good. Brown, Frankenstein's fat foot.
Wynn actually kind of played okay until he got hurt. But
they put him at left tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was at left tackle, but then you put that Kajuste guy at right tackle, which makes no sense. But they said Trent Brown was sick.
Yeah, he was
apparently
sick, so he had to come in. So, like I said, I think the starting line from going forward, if everyone's healthy, is going to be Trent Brown, left tackle, Strange, left guard, Andrews, Onwenu, and Trent Brown. That's your best offensive line.
Wynn at left tackle. Wynn at left tackle. Trent Brown. You had Trent Brown in two spots. Okay,
that's what I meant. Isaiah Wynn's at left tackle. That's my bad.
Which kind of makes sense. I mean, because Damian Harris was also sick. He didn't, like, practice, and then all of a sudden he showed up Saturday.
Suck it up.
So, like, these guys.
Sick.
It doesn't make sense that
everybody's
sick. But because benching him doesn't make sense. Trent Brown.
No,
he hasn't been great, but he's definitely not, like, a bench guy.
No, he's better than everybody else. The fucking, like, PFF had Cole Strange, like, as the most dominant lineman in the league during that game. I was like, what were they watching? I watched, like, 10 plays. Onwenu never leaves the line of scrimmage. He's just crushing one guy, embarrassing him, mauling
him. He's the best player.
And then
by
the
far.
Pocket behind him is like, he like, it looks like he's playing a different game. Like, it literally looks like he's playing a different game than the guys that he's around. Like, he didn't get the memo that he's supposed to be way back 10 yards because everybody there's 30 people collapsed around Mac Jones, and Onwenu is out there just mauling somebody.
Like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm actually ready to put him at right tackle. I've already done that.
No, I don't.
How is he a sixth-round pick?
I'm not sure what's up with Strange, because sometimes I watch him and I'm like, I don't think that he should be in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then other time you watch him, you're like, God, is this guy
As soon as Andrews goes out, it's like he forgets what his feet do. He's like, oh, my God,
That's why half of it has to do with Ferentz. Ferentz doesn't know how to – I mean, he's a center. He's a journeyman center. He's a journeyman.
Ah! Yeah, he's a fine, like, backup who can play all the positions. He can play both guards. He can play backup center. He's a good backup center.
He's a loyal.
He's on the team because his dad is friends with Bill Belichick. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of it. That's why he's bounced around and got a lot of, like, looks. I mean, how many Navy guys has he signed that never played a snap? How many guys has he, like, signed and cut just so they could get, like, a bonus? A million. But fucking yeah, Ferentz is an average guy at best. I mean, he's like a guy that's a practice squad, just a jobber. Like the guy that used to come in like the blue undies against the fucking Macho Man in the 80s. You know what I mean? You wouldn't even know his name.
But
he's just there to lose.
To be fair, like, we did just go against the Jets, who might have the best D-line in football. At least one of them. Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, Quinnen Williams. Who are the other guys?
Quinnen Williams
his
is
brother.
A monster.
His brother.
No pass rush.
Quinnen Williams is doing like the Bruce Smith movie. He just like does that like forearm shiver and just knocks a guy over.
Still
like,
has
I haven't
braces.
Seen that in a deck.
Losing to a guy still has braces.
That guy is huge, and he was.
I mean,
awesome.
They have arguably the best linebacker in the NFL. Mosley's an animal.
Mosley's a beast. Yeah, they were.
Mosley's awesome.
Their secondary
is.
They also had 9 guys in the box the whole game. Like, they didn't even pretend to play. A couple times they would play too deep, but that was like they had 8 guys in the box a lot.
I mean, there was no short. I mean, I can't remember one pass like that didn't come out of the backfield. I don't remember one pass.
Myers a couple times on cross.
Oh, he had some good. He threw some really good out routes. The pass to Henry up the side, to the right of the seam, was really good.
Myers was just open at like 12 yards every play.
Yeah, nothing really sticks out to me. Like, I remember a couple of the interesting, like, Jonnu Smith plays. That was it. I don't remember anything like no posts, no comebacks.
Parker just came back. He's still hurt. Like, they weren't really doing anything with him.
Well, then Aguilar was on the field the whole game, and Bourne was not. So
Aguilar kind of
was Bourne not on the field. It was I know Thornton dropped the ball.
Thornton had a drop. Bourne played.
He was immediately benched.
Yeah, was he benched? I thought that was punched out though, because that's the one they thought was a fumble, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be. Tight. He should have caught. He should have caught it for five.
Still should have caught it, but he did get punched out. That Sauce Gardner's got long arms, man. He fucking was like a fucking came around like fucking Slender Man. Grabbed his left arm, just came around his body and just punched it out like a fucking spider.
Yeah, it is annoying that we're gonna have to play him for a long time.
Speaking of long arms,
$1 billion in 2 years.
You know who's elite? Dietrich Wise is just elite. That guy's just about.
So, speaking of long arms,
yeah, we should. I mean, we just went this whole game. We haven't yet talked about one of the best defensive performances in Patriot history. Really, that game was incredible.
Yeah, their defense. I mean, I don't know how bad Zach Wilson is, but he plays good games. He beat Buffalo like 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's not terrible. He can make big throws.
Yeah, that's
and it wasn't
thing.
So windy that you couldn't throw. Like, it was windy, but like you could make intermediate passes with regularity in that game if you wanted to.
But we have a great, we have a, well, really top to bottom, we have a great defense. Like, Bentley has been
great.
He is way better than he was last
year. Yeah,
he
Bentley he's good.
Was awesome this game.
That's he got the bag at the right time. Judon is fucking finally become full season Judon.
He's
playing the edge.
Yeah.
He's playing the edge.
He's got the most sacks in the league. The kid's buzzing.
He's got 13. I think the next one's 10.5. Nick Bosa.
10.5. He's got 13.5.
Yeah, he's got a shot at 20.
He's playing good on like against the run. Like he's doing a lot of good stuff.
18.5 is the Patriots record. 18.5. And you got Josh Allen's a
week.
Yeah.
They gave up 9 this week to the Cowboys. They gave up or last week.
So,
like
and they got the guy got the fucking left tackle got a concussion.
He's out.
So he's out. So you got fucking a backup left tackle.
This is the thing about this team is they're awful in the trenches. They have a bad offensive line and a bad defensive line.
Yeah. So you get throwing on them will be tough and defending them is going to be difficult. I mean, they can throw. They got Justin Jefferson, who's also got turf toe, which is an injury that I really don't think exists. But I know that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. That's like, what
a thing
is
that's
that?
Made up. It's definitely not a thing.
I was running up my stairs like a week ago, and then I just came back downstairs and I couldn't walk.
Decided
like, nothing
you have
happened.
Turf toe.
There was nothing that happened. It was just like I think it was like a ligament just wasn't where it was supposed to be anymore, and I was limping.
had a diabetic.
But, like, there's nothing you can really say. Like, oh, what happened to you? It's like, there's
the stairs.
Turf toe is what it was. Like,
that's probably the injury that people get, like, when they don't know how they did it.
My
like,
foot
when
just stopped working.
You accidentally, like, when you're going to take a piss in the middle of the night and you hit your knee on the end of the bed, like, on the bedpost that you didn't know was there, it was underneath the fucking comforter. You smash your face. Goddamn turf toe.
Yeah, that's all it is. Anytime you have a limp and you're not sure, that's what you call it.
Yeah. I mean, the defense is being – they play well within each other. Like, there's no great play. Like, besides Duggar, who is
– Duggar was just another
just a nightmare
great performance.
For everybody.
He's just
Judon.
Everywhere.
He's got his first sack, first career sack this week. First career sack.
And Jonathan Jones is a star.
He's an elite outside corner.
He is top five in the league. Top 10.
I mean,
like,
Mills is also really good.
Mills is a great – he's been a great signing.
Like, he is.
We got him. Everyone's like, oh, everyone thinks he's overrated in Philly. He came here. It's like,
everyone thought he was like a safety. Like he was going to be like a nickel
stone back. Yeah.
He's just good. I don't know. He's just consistent. He matches up against a lot of the number ones too, which is good.
You know who might be the most stable? All our safeties are stable.
McCourty's stable besides he hates catching the ball. McCourty
hit him in the chest. That's not fair. I mean, You expect the guy to at least touch the ball then when it's thrown to him. You don't expect it to just hit you in the face at full speed.
Pretend to be a decent quarterback. Yeah. And then Jack Jones is another find. Like, he's just solid. It is funny that they get rid of these guys consistently at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Tom Brady did. He gets rid of girls a year early rather than a year late. Have you seen Giselle lately? Come on, let's face it.
She dumped him.
He dumped her.
He's heartbroken.
He dumped her. Fuck that. He's a champion. You
know what you don't do when you get dumped is start deleting old Instagram posts. He was doing.
Has he done that?
He deleted a couple.
Oh no, friends, family, and football. Yeah. Oh no, I hope he's not.
If I dumped a girl, I would not even remember some of the posts were up. But if she dumped me, I'm definitely like
you. Goddamn bet, I'm fucking deleting those posts.
March 2017.
Saving those though.
That was our Vermont trip.
I'd probably be like Danny Amendola when he went on that Instagram rant, because you know that when he was dating Olivia Culpo, she was like, "How come you never post me on Instagram or something like that?" Like that's like probably why she dumped him. And he went on that, like, she dumped him, and he went on that rant where he just started posting like all those personal videos. Oh, he was geez. Like, he was like, they were like in Montana, like singing Lady Gaga together and like flipping pancakes in like their underwear.
Oh,
he's
trying to get her back, or was
no?
He just
I don't know. He was
her.
Just like posting like love.
He's weird.
Yeah, he's a weird dude.
I think I'm out on Amendola.
It was to the point where Julian Edelman was like, probably couldn't get a hold of him like by text or phone because he was going through it so hard. So he was posting on his Instagram, like, get off Instagram, Danny. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It was like, he hasn't had Instagram since. He deleted it completely.
Yeah.
That was a tough night for Danny. I was following it along so hard. I was like, this is going bad for your boy.
That is great. I mean, honestly, after what he's been doing lately, I'm like, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Enough of him.
Fuck him.
Trashing the Pats lately. It's like, yeah, you came here, you stunk. You had a couple fourth down catches.
Average ass motherfucker.
I'm done with you.
Yeah, big deal.
You're no Edelman.
Yeah, you fucking no Edelman.
You'll never be Edelman.
You'll never be Edelman. You'll never be Troy Brown. You'll never be Wes Welker. You just got paid more than them. That's all.
Yeah.
Danny Big Stacks. That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, Godshaw and Lawrence Guy, just incredible performance this game. Both of them. Just complete. What do they have rushing? 60 yards, something like that. Passing, they had 77 yards, but total. If you take away the sack yards,
yeah, they were like
33 yards.
Yeah, they had something like 100 yards total or something for the whole game.
They had -1 yards in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I think they had 20 in the fourth quarter, 20 in the second half total.
I tell you what, though, I think they got the right coach. I think they just don't get the quarterback. The coach is good.
Yeah, Salah's definitely good.
I don't know if he's one of these guys like Rex Ryan that can coach a defense and then like just get like, and then like they, you know how they've done in the past where like they have a great defensive coach and they built the defense and he kind of controls that and they're dominating, and then whoever the GM is just kind of like collecting talent on offense, and sometimes they'll just throw a bunch of money at like high price free agents and then just hope for the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we did get to play them without Corey Davis both games, who's definitely their best receiver.
Yeah, but I mean, there was no he had like 70 yards passing. I don't think Corey Davis was gonna either triple that, you know?
No, I'm just saying it's like, I think they're a little better, but I don't think they're really like much better. Yeah, I don't think they're that good.
No, but you know, they were a tough team. They're a tough team to beat, and they're definitely a tough team to beat twice.
Well, that's also a game like if Belichick wasn't coaching this team, we would have been pressing in the second half, and we would have turned the ball over.
Yeah.
And they would have won. They would have won by like 13-6.
That's going to go up there as one of Belichick's favorite games. I mean, you played 60 minutes, controlled the football, no turnovers.
They're
you
coming
played
in ahead
great
of
defense.
Ahead of you in the division at home. They have a
at home,
you
need it. You need the win just to stay in the playoff race. Fucking, if the Jets won that game, they would have been in first place in the division. Now they're in last.
Talking the most shit about the Patriots.
Yeah.
We would have never heard the end of it.
Yeah. So, they play 60 minutes and fucking a punt, which, I mean, in what world do you think Belichick would ever say punt this to the punt returner with 5 seconds left?
After what your defense did that whole game? Yeah.
No.
No.
We ever say punt it to the returner? Never. That has to go so far out of bounds. Like, that is a huge mistake. He punted it directly down the middle to a guy that has done nothing but been an excellent returner his whole life, including in the NFL.
Interestingly, that Bryant took about, I don't know, I'd say a third of the punt returns from, like, the middle of the third quarter into the fourth.
Yeah, he got hurt. He hurt his ankle.
He was hurt. Back. He had ice on
and
his
then they, so it was, like, Marcus Jones, and then all of a sudden they're like, all right, Miles Bryant's returning him now.
Yeah.
And then yeah, Jones came back and took it to the house.
Fucking housed it. Oh, my God. You could hear the pop when he got, like, around the right edge, and it just goes, like, it was like this, like snap, and the whole fucking crowd erupted. Oh. He got by, like, one, like, there was a great hole right there on the right end. They blocked it perfectly, and I just saw him coming right at me. I was like, God damn it, get over past that punter. Jumped him, and fucking just right in the end zone. Like, I don't even think he was touched, right? Just untouched
no,
the whole way.
Went right around the kicker.
Incredible.
And one of the biggest blocks was...
Was it the Malcolm Wilson doing it behind on the back?
No. Which, they were complaining about that. We kicked
bullshit.
The field goal, we win anyway. So shut up.
Yeah, and also, that was not even a block in the back.
It wasn't a block in the back. He hit him in the face.
It was also... It was definitely unnecessary, but yeah.
Yeah,
whatever.
You didn't have to do it.
But one of the biggest blocks was John Jones and Mills. blocked their captain on the sidelines that sealed off that ball.
They
viced
him.
You think Sauce Gardner is going to be out there on the punt return laying a block to spring a touchdown?
To win
the
game.
We have our two top cornerbacks on punt return just locking up their guys.
That has to be the most elite. I mean, I've never seen a walk-off punt return touchdown.
There's been zero all year. That's the only one all year in football.
No, but when's the last time you've seen a – it wasn't a walk-off.
But is Deshaun Jackson did it. Last play of the game,
the
to
Meadowlands
put into the playoffs.
Against the Giants.
The Giants, yeah.
Yeah, and the mirror,
and then they cut the punter. They cut the punter the next hour.
The at the Meadowlands.
Yeah,
part two, whatever. He fumbled it and he picked it up and then took
ran
it
back. That was the only one I could remember.
Yeah, that's Pepper,
by the way, the most intimidating player in a Patriots uniform is Peppers. Looks so good. Yeah, that guy.
Peppers can play linebacker. He can play safety.
That's who made the block with John Jones. It was Peppers, not Mills.
There is a video.
Peppers is a giant beast.
Did y'all watch Bill break down the play? I watched it all.
I watch it Friday night. I like to get into my feelings and watch Patriots All Access on Friday nights.
Well, you got to do
cocktails.
No, this is the All Access tonight.
Oh fuck! Because they're playing Thursday. Yeah. Is it tonight?
Yeah, they put it on. Bill, that's what
cocksucker. I gotta watch that tonight then.
Yeah. Which, by the way, how big of an asshole is Bill for like coming out and saying like, yeah, we didn't do much prep for the Jets. We prepped just for the Vikings on the bye week. Because
I don't think that's what he said. I think that he said we got started on the Vikings. That you have to. They're probably starting on the Bills too.
Yeah.
They got to play them in a week.
And they also have the whole Jet. They played the Jets 2 weeks ago, so they know everything about them.
Yeah, exactly.
They played for the past 25 years. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Playing the Vikings is going to be tough, but we'll see. I mean, that was a great win. That was a great win for the Patriots.
Oh, that was huge. I mean, because the other thing for Mac, it gave Mac kind of the confidence of like, hey, you don't need to like win. Like, the team is going to win us games.
Yeah.
You just don't have to lose us.
It's the team, the team, the team.
Until we need you, we'll let you know. But as of now, we're good, bro.
You stay on standby where you throw it to the guy 3 yards from you and don't throw it to the other guys in different
colors.
Look,
if Mac can give us 250 and eventually mix in maybe a tutter in a game,
we got pipe dreams here, boys.
If Mac threw for 250 and two touchdowns, we would be talking about an absolute blowout because Zach Wilson would have to start throwing the ball.
Yeah.
We would have started turning him over. We would have won this game by 30.
Yeah,
but
I'm just saying, Matt gave you 250 this game. If he can do that every game and maybe mix in a tutter or two, the boys are going to be a problem. They're not going to win anything, but they could be a problem.
They're going to be solid, yeah.
And they could upset somebody in the playoffs with this defense.
We just also need to somehow like get the matchups where we could play like, you know, potentially the Titans, and then potentially, like, I don't know. I think we could beat the Ravens if we played them again, and then somehow play not
Buffalo.
Kansas City.
Or
Buffalo.
Avoiding Kansas City at all costs would be ideal, because there's no way they could keep up. Like, Kansas City, like, couldn't even, I mean, they usually suck against the Patriots, and they still score, like, 24. You know what I mean? Like, and you'd be like, wow, we crushed the Chiefs today. Like, the defense was dominant today, and the Chiefs will have 24 points.
We're getting dome Mac. This is Mac's first dome experience, right? If it's not, don't correct me.
I don't know. I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Well, he played the Chargers last year when they won by 50.
Not including college.
That's not a dome.
The Rams are a dome.
Is it a dome? I mean, it's a
roof.
Well,
it's like technically an outside. It's a roof, but yeah, I guess there's it's a little open, but.
So there's wind.
So yes. So the answer.
Have you seen Max Muffins? A little wind will fucking send those babies flying.
So
we
I
need
think
something
Max,
with no wind.
Max got some dome.
He played in
muffins.
Indianapolis last year. That's a dome.
You didn't play in Atlanta. You've got Mac Muffins and a dome coming. I couldn't imagine it. A better breakout game.
You're going against basically his ideal, his NFL like twin. You know, like Kirk Cousins versus Mac Jones. Those guys are like basically the same type of quarterback.
Yeah, Kirk does if it's 3rd and 12, Kirk's throwing the ball 7 yards.
Yeah.
That's the thing about him. It's like his numbers always look good. It's like, yeah, but you needed the first down.
Kirk can sling muffins, just same as Mac can throw muffins.
Yeah, Kirk, I mean, they definitely have talent, obviously. The running back's a problem. The receiver core is a problem. The tight end is a problem. Like, the whole team is kind of an issue for us. Like, they're going to be tough.
They're just going to play that Dallas fucking game plan. That seemed to work just fine.
They threw it. They threw the pill and they ran the pill. If they can't stop the run, I mean, the Patriots might win this game by 30.
We're looking at a team total in this game for the Patriots at 19.5. I don't recommend putting all the money you plan on spending on your kids on Christmas on it, but I kind of recommend it.
You want over?
I think they're going to score like, yeah, I think they might score 30 this game.
Oh, boy.
30 I think points. The defense is going to make plays.
Boy, I don't know how I feel about optimistic
Tyler. Isn't Kirk Cousins
Tyler?
like has no wins in primetime? Like maybe one out of, he's like 1 for 10.
He's one. I think he's one. He's 1 in 12.
Yeah. Oh. And they've won every game they've won has been like a real tight game. So they keep pulling these wins out, which.
And I can't see Belichick losing to a guy that he drafted. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Like Cliff Kingsbury and fucking Kevin O'Connell, two guys that he's drafted. Come on.
Yeah. And I don't really see them like Lamar kind of torched us. And then the Bears game, which I still am going to, I mean,
you chalk it up to a bad game.
I'll argue the Bears game. Like, I don't think it was as bad as.
It was terrible. It was as bad as it gets.
That was
an early terrible game, and that's the early terrible
game.
And
then the other game, like who else did we really lose to? That was like a
they lost to Green Bay, but you know they could have won
that.
That
was a tight one, and Mac got hurt in that game, right? No, that was the first game Zach
didn't play.
Yeah, and then so on the road with a rookie, and then the other one was the Dolphins, which they didn't score on us either. So
no, so the defense is solid. I mean, you're not going to get better receivers than the Dolphins have. Who's their number two? I mean, Thielen?
Thielen and Osgood.
Thielen or they got Hawk. They got some good. They got good receivers, but they can't block.
Yeah, they can't block, and I don't think they can stop the run. So I think we're going to be able to move the ball. I think Stevenson and Harris are going to have games. Like, I think the offense is going to move the ball. We moved the ball last game. We just didn't score points.
We did. They just got to get better in the red zone, or even getting to the red zone. So
some big plays?
Yeah, I love big plays.
I
like big plays, and I cannot lie. All right, before we get into our predictions for this week, let's just say, remember to drink your Malcolm Codes, make up your own drinking games at home. Malcolm
James
Codes,
Prince
once again.
Has-
I want to see pictures of the Malcolm Codes. Put them up on your Twitter. Put them up on Instagram. Put them up in the Discord, discord.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. Email them to me, MalcolmGoPodcast@gmail.com. Also, I'm at Brady Disciple at MalcolmGoPod, also at Twitter. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. We can go out. The boys can go out. We can have tailgates. We'll do Malcolm Code tailgates. And that's highball glass, vodka, Mountain Dew Code Red, and lime and maraschino cherry. And a fancy straw if you want to do a twirly straw, too. Go ahead and do that. That's it. I mean, I think everyone have a happy Thanksgiving.
We get a prediction?
We get a prediction. I would like to
Thanksgiving Day game?
For the Sachems?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Sachems this year. What are the Sachems? 1-10? 1-9?
Against, I think they're the fifth best team in the state.
PBD this year? Oh, I like the Sachems big.
I think so, too.
Sachems are home. They're opening a new stadium.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving, I'm going to go in attendance.
Spread is 47.
I love that spread for us. First of all, we're definitely covering. And I think I like Saugus Sachems 24, PBD 3. They get a rare field goal, high school field goal.
I think that.
I don't think Syracuse is. I mean, Saugus has scored 24 points all season total.
I don't think they might get 24 yards.
No.
So I would be happy with that.
24-3 Sachems. Tomahawk talk. They still do
this.
That
this might be Tony's biggest weekend of the year. He's got the Cuse on Saturday in BC.
At
he's
Boston
got the Sachems, and the Patriots on the same day. The kid's going to be unbelievable.
I might have tickies for you if you want to go. The only thing is it's Saturday night now.
What?
I know.
Did
I
they get
like,
fucking, they get flexed? They flex the Cuse?
I thought they were playing at noon. I was like, oh, I was going to go. My uncle, whatever, my grandfather, I was like, yeah, I'll go to that. And then it's like, no, I'm not.
Nah,
7:30
fuck that. Chestnut like, Hill in nighttime, I'm all
it's
set.
It's freezing. I'm like, it might be raining.
Worst tailgate. It's going to rain. It's even worse.
Tailgate's not bad.
Tailgate's the worst tailgate in the game.
Yeah, maybe.
It's worse than a Saugus High tailgate.
Don't be
It
absurd.
Couldn't be. I mean, I will say our tailgate turned out well, but I'm intimidated by the lack of tents and just the amount of open space at a paid tent.
We left the grill. got a little buzz. The wheel fell off the grill. I was like, that's it. That's the end of this.
Still
grill.
There?
Oh yeah, it's in the parking lot. If anybody wants it, all it needs is the wheel to be glued back on. That was like a $300 grill. I just couldn't. I couldn't at that point in time. I just couldn't do it. So what do you give me for what do you like in the Sachems game?
In the Sachems game?
Yeah.
56-0.
Sachems?
No. I don't think I think this is going to be a bad one.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be one of those ones where it's
wait,
like,
we have a, I need to talk about an experience that happened to me in the 204 when the king of 204 was not there and I was by myself. David Andrews went down and I saw Mr. Ferentz approach the football field and I stated aloud for everyone to hear that why the fuck is this clown playing? Or I said he sucks, and immediately I was getting F-bombed by a woman with a thick, thick Yankee accent. And to be frank, Aaron, I was intimidated. Yeah.
Hey, where I'm from, women don't talk back to men.
You better sit down before I show you the back of my hand, miss.
Well, I mean, and I good for James Friends. He has good friends, people that stick up for him. Very good for him. He's probably a very nice guy. Wish he was better at football, and that's all I said. And I was promptly told that he was way cooler than me, which
I agree.
Is not shocking.
No, it's a group to be agreed with. James would never talk bad about you at your janitor job.
The guy holding the down marker is above us. So.
Yeah.
Right, like,
the fucking guys guards, they let out on work release cleaning up the bathrooms is fucking right. Way cooler
the
than me.
The security guards that don't get to face the field are way, way, way fucking above us. You know, the ones that have to face away. Yeah. At least they're on the field.
Hold on. I want to talk about the fact that you were tweeting about it, didn't mention her name, and then she fucking DM'd you. So she's following the Twitter account.
The best was she was sending us screenshots. He's like, at one point, she's like, please don't talk about us on the podcast. It's like, man, you don't have to worry about that. Like, I don't know.
That's 100% happening.
We're the official podcast of the New England Patriots.
Ma'am, let's be honest.
This is not getting back to you.
This is going to get picked up.
If you get James Ferentz to listen, that'd be huge.
Was she a looker? You never said that. No?
I mean, she's probably listening. Yeah, she was a looker. She also mentioned she's, like, dating some dude from Minnesota. And she's like, because all you New England men are short, and meanwhile, all three of us were above 6 feet.
Easy does it.
Yeah, they got, like, that weird Nordic fucking Viking hereditary, but they also live in the fucking Arctic. You know where I'd rather live? In Saugus, Massachusetts. Ever heard of Kowloon?
Hey, we all put 6 foot on our license.
1629.
So.
1629. I drove into Saugus and saw that sign established in 1629, and I audibly gasped. I said, this might be the oldest city in America.
The pilgrims showed up and were like, this isn't it, guys. Let's move north.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, here we are. 1629. They put down a flag and said, here's where the capital is going to be. And they were like, not enough industry. We'll move down 1 foot to Boston. Founded that 1 year later, 1630. And then just led us in Saugus. We built the Kowloon. We built the tikis, and
also
a
my house.
Because
it's 400 years old.
Tyler's house being held up by rat skulls and fucking old Indian fucking bones. So anyway, what's up? What do you got for the score, KP? We're rambling.
I mean, okay. Going into
Ferentz,
Minnesota.
Mrs. Ferentz, we're very sorry for Kenneth's fucking insobriety.
I gotta tell you, they always talk about like how nice Southern people are, and I just don't buy it.
No.
I think they're nice, they're polite, but
they're a polite dumb, so they don't know like what they're, you know, like
yeah, like KP's like, oh, sorry, miss, you dumb bit. Like, in the same as he's being polite
well, I mean,
to you,
no,
he's insulting you.
I didn't do any of that. I just told her. I said, I'm sure he's a nice guy. Let him know that he sucks at football, and that's when she told
call
me,
him up. Call
he's
him
cool.
up.
He's cooler than you and better than you. And I said, well, you know, I never got a chance, so I'm not sure that that's right.
Yeah, really?
That's give me a snap.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to see if he could block us. Honestly, if we did a twist on him, one of those little twists, you know, run a game on him.
Do you think
we get
he
to the
could,
quarterback?
Like reverse double team block? Like if there was two of us blitzing and
no,
it was just
no.
him?
I don't think anybody can do that.
We would bull rush him. The only one we couldn't was Trent Brown. Two of his arms, he would block both of us.
The only one we couldn't do that to? You don't think a Winnowoo could just pick us up with both of his hands?
Only Winnowoo could do whatever he wants.
I think if you took the
first shot, like the kill shot off the snap, where like the first initial punch, we wouldn't know how to avoid that. And Trent Brown or like Onwenu would break our fucking solar plexus.
Didn't you just hear the story where I said I hurt my foot running up my stairs? Like, we would get destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I'm dropping back into coverage.
KP had
Tommy John surgery at 12. Like, what kind of fucking genetics is he?
No, but he's definitely KP's bulking up right now, so he actually might
he's
be
able juicing. That's true.
He might be able to rip through.
Yeah, he's got a bull rush.
I am not moving.
I got one bull rush in you.
Yeah,
I could be in my truck going 10, and I'm not moving Trent Brown. What are we talking about?
You can move James Ferentz though. Put that on the fucking.
Yeah.
Pod.
Oh my god. All the girl kept saying was he's like my size. I was like, all right, well, if that's true, it's not great for you, babe. Yeah, like,
can you block me?
All right, so what do we got? KP, what do you got?
All right, well, we're going in short week. They just got shit pumped at home by the Cowboys, who I don't think are that great. Their running game, surely not better than New England Patriots. Short week, Bill playing against the duty drafted. Pats, big, 27-6.
I do love this podcast because we forget 3 weeks ago that we were like, all right, maybe we'll just cancel the Patriots season and we won't have to go through this.
Save us the embarrassment, yeah. Please.
No, I do think the Pats are going to score. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think, you know, Matt could definitely move the ball. Players are going to be open downfield all over the place. Defense is going to show up with some turnovers. I get the Pats 27-19. And a nice win.
That's a great win. Yeah. I love – this is fucking Minnesota. I don't think they've had a short week yet. New coach, rookie coach. Belichick usually eats a rookie coach.
Especially on a short – Belichick on a short week has to be a huge –
It's also
he's got
prime
so much
time,
experience doing
it's
this.
Primetime Kirk, who is, like, renowned for being dog shit.
Correct. Primetime Kirk. You got Primetime Mac, who's renowned for being the GOAT. He's going to be in there slinging. The muffins
will
fly.
I didn't even take that into account.
Yeah, Primetime Mac, of course. So I the Patriots need this one. They need a signature win, and I need this one to be it. I like the Patriots running away from Minnesota this week. Minnesota goes on a mini losing streak. Patriots 27-17.
Do you think we all pick 27, so I hate that immediately. But let me – do we over under 0.5 passing touchdowns?
Over.
Over under 1.5.
Under. I think he throws one and they run all over them.
I think you just pound the Patriots scoring points this week.
I like it. I like them today. All right, boys. Until next week.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
everyone.
Turkey.
Oh,
enjoy
yeah,
the
we,
bird, eh? Enjoy your bird.
We were told by a listener to mention three things we're thankful for. I'm thankful for Tom Brady.
Wow. Ooh. Were you confused, Kenneth?
On the Patriots. I'm not thankful for Tampa, Tom.
I don't know. I'm thankful for the 204. I'm thankful Ooh. For Coach Bill Belichick. And right now, I'm thankful for Kyle Duggar.
Oh, there we go.
The king.
I just found out my mom listens, so I'm thankful for my mother. All right, guys?
Hi, Mom.
I'm thankful for Tyler's mother. I'm thankful for Tyler's mother.
All right, you're getting fucking, you're getting shut off.
Tom Brady.
Bye.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All from this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game. Your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
Stephen. Warner goes back to throw, and here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back. Snap ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team
in the league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You worked your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.